you got
cooking?
How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Haynes.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. Wow, could there be a better time to debut the Outdoor Cooking Show than the day before the 4th of July? There are so many different directions a 4th of July cookout can take. Well, a one-hour show just can't cover them all. So what I thought we'd do today is try to focus on some of the more popular and commonplace cookout recipes for the 4th of July in hopes of maybe helping you with a plan for your meal. Not to mention me. I've got to do that too. Now, I've always been upfront with my friends that I'm not an accomplished chef. I'm not even a foodie. I know many of you are. I'm just a guy who likes to grill meat neat. You know, there's a reason why that rhymes, grill meat neat. So many of my recipes are, well, if I'm being honest, all of my recipes are rudimentary at best. But let's talk about something as basic as burgers, for instance. My plan is pretty doggone simple. A little Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper, throw them on the grill. I'm not the kind of guy to spend a lot of time marinating, though I will let the meat sit in the Worcestershire sauce and the salt and pepper for an hour or so before I grill them. But I don't go to elaborate ends to, sear the hamburger patties, to seal in the juices like you do a steak. I've seen people do that. I don't slow cook them off the flame. I've seen people do that too. And I'm not one of the kinds to use a meat thermometer to make sure that the core is cooked to everybody's mutual satisfaction. I just toss the patties on the grill. When they look done, I add a layer of cheese, or two, or three. And when the cheese is melted, I take it inside and invite everybody to chow down. But let's face it, there are a lot of different ways to cook something even as basic as burgers. And burgers are just the most basic 4th of July food fare you can try. Brisket and ribs and chicken, lots of other great entrees are superb main dishes to go along with traditional sides like potato salad or coleslaw. And that list even goes on and on and on. So we'll get into all of that as we go along today. But first of all, though, I'd like to introduce myself a little more formally for you. Many of you have already heard my voice on the radio, but few of you have heard me use my real name on the radio. And that's because for 30 years, I was Irv Harrigan on the Hudson and Harrigan Show on another radio station here in Houston. I am no longer Irv Harrigan. I am Randy Haynes. Well, of course, I was always Randy Haynes, but I am now proud to use my legal name, my real name, on the radio again. As a matter of fact, I remember my father, God rest his soul, said to me one time, "Wow, son, you've really made a name for yourself in radio. It's too bad it's not your name." So I will be using the name Randy Haynes because that's who I am, and for legal purposes, someone else owns the name Irv Harrigan, so I am not Irv Harrigan. And this is not the Hudson and Harrigan Show. But I will be proud to say that I'll be talking to my dear old buddy from our 30 years together on H&H, Fred Olson, probably in the last segment of the show today, and hopefully many more times in the life of the Outdoor Cooking Show. So there's something to look forward to. But we are not Hudson and Harrigan anymore. But this is the Outdoor Cooking Show, not the Fred and Randy Show. And outdoor cooking is what we're going to focus on. As I said earlier, I am no chef. I'm just a guy who likes to cook some meat on the grill in the backyard and eat it. The eating part is my favorite part. I learned to grill from my dad. My father was frugal, to say the least. When Dad came back from World War II, he didn't make a whole lot of money. He was an airplane mechanic for American Airlines in Fort Worth. And so to save a few shekels, if you will, he went to a junkyard and he bought an old wood-burning stove, old cast-iron wood-burning stove, was probably 100 years old, and he converted it into an outdoor grill rather than buy one from a store. My dad was a mechanic in the war. He was actually with George Patton's Armored Division, so he knew his way around all kinds of metal. So he ripped off the top of the stove and he placed a grill surface on it. Then he hand-fashioned a cover for that grill out of metal, and he added a smokestack, and he just started experimenting with burgers and steaks and chicken. Oh, my maternal grandmother absolutely loved his charcoal chicken. "Best you ever made, Billy." I can remember her saying it. And my dad also liked to experiment with all kinds of meats and vegetables. My mother loved it when he cooked the vegetables because that meant she didn't have to cook anything at all. He taught me how to fire up the charcoal, burn it down to white coals to create a low fire. He taught me how to lightly salt and pepper the meat. I probably didn't follow those instructions very well. I like a lot more salt and pepper than he does. And in some rare cases, he would add some sauces to flavor the food. But the apple didn't fall too far from the tree for me. He was not a foodie, as we've learned to call them these days. He just liked the taste of food cooked outdoors. His style was very simple. He passed that simple style on to me. And so, as I said earlier, I'm not really an expert like some of the people you'll see on TV or here on this show. And in that way, I'm the perfect host for this show. Because as we draw upon the expertise of people like some of the guests we've lined up for our very first show, I'll be learning new techniques right along with the rest of you. Now, many of you may be foodies, and by comparison, you'll think of me as some kind of foolish neophyte who doesn't know Spam from a spatula, but that's perfectly okay. I'm not insulted if you characterize me in that manner. I'm going to want to draw upon your knowledge of this subject just as much as I do someone who's making a living off of the subject, like, you know, writing cookbooks or doing cooking demonstrations or maybe selling cookers or whatever, building outdoor kitchens. There's a lot of things that come to mind. We're establishing a couple of different lines of communications that you can use to tell me how stupid you think I am, and I won't take offense at that. Or if you're willing, we'd love for you to share some of your treasured secrets or some of your secret recipes with me and the rest of our audience, and we'll try them along the way. We'll try cookers along the way, and we'll compare notes, put all these things together, and try to make some sense of it all. And again, we'll talk about how you can get in touch with me later on. We're still developing our website and our social media presence as we go along. We're launching the show a little faster than we thought we would, so we're not quite ready for all of that. But we'll talk about that as we go along. But the Outdoor Cooking Show is not going to be restricted to just outdoor grilling, per se. And by that I mean as in charcoal grilling or a gas cooker of some kind, which is what I use. We'll also venture into campfire cooking for all you hunters and you fishermen and women, especially those of you who like to eat what you bag or catch right there on the campsite instead of bringing it home to cook it. Now, total transparency, I'm not much of an outdoorsman either. I don't go hunting or fishing a lot. So again, I'm going to elicit the expertise of those who are, and we'll all try to learn new stuff together. And we'll also talk about deep fat fryers for crawfish and catfish and hush puppies, not to mention Thanksgiving turkeys. You know, I have never tried that. In all the years and Thanksgivings that we've prepared the meal for the family, I have never tried that technique. So I'll be interested in what you have to say about it, too. And plus, we'll have all kinds of special occasions that call for outdoor cooking, you know, like the 4th of July and Labor Day and Memorial Day, but also things like tailgating at football games and who knows what else. The ideas are endless. And so I want your ideas on how to cook outdoors for all kinds of special events, even on to birthday parties and anything like that, to poolside parties. So let's get this party started, shall we? The Outdoor Cooking Show. My name is Randy Hames. I am proud to be your host, and we'll bring in our first guest in just a few minutes. Stick around.
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Randy Hames here. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you're going to love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas, but they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, and fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, cold drinks, and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door with a wide variety of items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing social media, and my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run. You don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts. Call us today, 832-500-4272, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we just had fun. Listeners told us they laughed, too, all the way to work every day, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's Morning Show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. So get your copy of Houston's Morning Show today and join the fun.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Hames.
I think you're going to love our next guest. Here is Nick Castleberg. How are you, sir?
I'm mighty fine. How about yourself?
Well, doing okay for an old man. Nick has been chef at the George Ranch Historical Park for over 15 years. He lives now in Katy. So, Nick, as I understand it, you spent at least a part of your childhood in Singapore. Is that right?
I did, yeah. Dad was in the oil business, and we spent a little bit of time in Southeast Asia there, a year in Singapore and a year in Penang.
So how did growing up, at least in part, in Singapore influence your passion for cooking?
Over in Southeast Asia, there's these street hawkers that are everywhere you go. So everywhere you go when you're walking around town, you're smelling all these wonderful foods cooking. And I noticed as I would walk by, I would smile. It made me feel good just smelling. And a little thing went off in my head. I said, you know, you can make people really happy by cooking good food for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the seed, I think, was planted to then later years become a chef.
So then later on, you moved to the Houston area. You were in high school in Spring Branch. Is that right? Which high school?
Westchester High School, Westchester Wildcats.
You said that with a certain amount of pride in your voice.
Yes, sir.
So did you go directly into the cooking industry?
I did not. You know, I grew up, my grandma on a farm, you know, used to pick the produce every morning and cook. So I kind of started playing around in the kitchen with her. She kind of, I guess, helped to plant the seed for the style I cook and I do now, which is like country cooking, you know. Actually had a carpet business for many years, and then I ended up joining the U.S. Navy aircraft mechanic.
Aircraft mechanic? Oh, I would have thought you were a cookie in the Navy.
You know, everybody always asked me that. Were you a cook in the Navy? I was on an aircraft. I was actually in an air wing, but we deployed on the USS Nimitz. And my first deployment for the first month, I was what they call TAD, temporary assignment of duty, down to the galley. And I tell you, that is incentive to make rank, because once you pick up B4, you don't go TAD. You know, you got 6,500 people, five meals a day.
Ooh, wow.
Crazy. Oh, yeah. I was not a cook in the Navy.
Nick Castleberg, he is a chef at the George Ranch Historical Park and has been for over 15 years. He's our guest here on the Outdoor Cooking Show. So did you get formal training as a chef?
I did. You know, one of the nice things about the service, you get the GI Bill.
Yeah.
And as I got out, I was actually working in private security. And the GI Bill was ticking away. You only had 10 years to use it back then. And all my friends had always said, you know, you should be a chef. You love to cook. You love to entertain. You're pretty good at it. My fear was if I did it for a living, I would it would become, you know, a job. And
right.
I know quite a few people in the industry, they get burned out at a very young age. And I was scared that my passion, if I did it for a living, that I would lose that passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hesitant. But like I said, as the GI Bill was ticking away, I ended up enrolling at the Art Institute of Houston and did my formal training there.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Nick. I have a very good friend who is a masterful guitarist. And he said exactly the same thing. For years, I would say to him, Tommy, you need to become a professional musician. You're so good at it. And he said, but you don't understand, playing the guitar is therapy for me. And if it became a job, it would no longer be fun. It would be work. And so I kind of sense that that's the take you had on cooking.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how did you wind up in this position at George Ranch?
Well, I was actually sitting out in the front yard reading one of the little papers they throw around in the neighborhood, waiting for a buddy of mine to come pick me up and head down to Freeport to do some security work down there at the Dow plant. And I was just perusing through the paper and got to the want ads, and there was a big want ad that said the George Ranch Historical Park is looking for a chuck wagon cook, must be able to cook with Dutch ovens, and must be able to work with children. Well, I was a scoutmaster at the time. My son was in Boy Scouts. I'm a former scout myself as well. Been cooking with Dutch ovens since I was about 12 years old. So I knew I could handle the kid part, and I knew I could handle the Dutch oven part. So on a whim, I just phoned him and said, hey, you know, I'd love to come out and visit with you guys. I tell you, I got out here, toured the place, and before we even done touring the place, I told him, I'm your man. I don't care what it pays. I am your man. Been here ever since.
That's great. And obviously, as a Boy Scout counselor, then you've had a lot of experience with campfire cooking. That's something we're going to be talking about a lot on this show. And that's very different from grilling, isn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah. Open fire cooking, just in a pit in the ground, is completely different from cooking on a contained grill, if you will. The heat's a lot easier to control. The wind does play in a little bit on a smoker or a grilling pit when you're just out on the prairie with a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
Especially on the prairie with not a lot of trees, you know, you've always got a 20, 30 mile per hour wind. Heat control is something that, without the right tools, is virtually impossible to do. Luckily, I'm also a blacksmith, and I'm able to manufacture all my own tools that I use.
Wow. That's cool. Sounds a lot like my dad. He was with George Patton in World War II, so he was used to working with metal. And as I talked about in the opening monologue of the show today, he actually went out and got a cast iron stove, wood-burning stove, yep, and turned it into a cooker. He was frugal. Cheap is the right word, but I use the word frugal. But nonetheless, he was very good with metal, and I suppose that does serve you well. But let's get back to the George Ranch. What do you do out there?
I'm the executive chef, and we do meals every Saturday that are open to the public. In fact, we got one here at 12:30 today, being Saturday. And what we do is we move them around the historical park. So each era, the 1830s, say the log cabin, you come out, reservations are highly recommended, come out, and we will feed you at that site, and we will feed you food that is relevant to that particular time frame. And then we'll talk about acquisition of food, of course, preservation of food, because they didn't have ice boxes and things. So we talk about smokehouses and salting and curing and things, ways to make your hunting and gathering last, you know. So we're talking canning and preserving. And
I love it. Hunting and gathering. I feel like I'm at the museum. And it is a museum of sorts, isn't it?
It is. It's what we call a living history museum. So we have costume interpreters at all the different sites.
Okay, Nick, it's the 4th of July weekend, and I understand you have an original recipe for us called candied pork belly, and it's been a 30-year journey to get it right, as I understand it. Tell us about it.
You know, in Singapore, one of the big things is satay. It's little pieces of meat on a stick. And I loved that stuff as a kid. It was one of those things that helped to plant that seed. And so for 30 years, I tried to reproduce the satay that I'd had in Singapore and tried, you know, recipes online, talking to people from Malaysia, and just couldn't nail it. And one day I was in the kitchen here just playing around, and we have a saying in the Navy. It's an acronym. The Navy's big on the acronyms.
Yeah.
KISS, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, right.
So I started thinking, it's basically a sugar-based rub. And, of course, in Malaysia, the sugar, a lot of the sugar is what we call palm sugar. It comes from coconut palm trees.
Mm-hmm.
Not the coconut trees themselves that bear the fruit, but a palm tree that they make an incision in. The sap oozes out. They scrape it off and then refine it into sugar. So it's a little bit different of a flavor. But our brown sugar is pretty close. Piloncillo, the Mexican cube sugar, works as well. And then you can also go to places like Hong Kong City Mall and pick up the actual palm sugar. But my first inception of the recipe, if you will, was just brown sugar. And then I knew it had some garlic and some onion, because you always, when you do this rub, according to the original recipes, you use fresh garlic, fresh onion, and or shallot. So I just substituted garlic powder and onion powder, and of course you got to have a little bit of salt in your rub. And I put that on some pork that I had in the kitchen and went out and fired up the grill and slapped it on there. And after 30 years, I picked it up, let it cool for a minute, popped it in my mouth, and I tell you, tears came to my eyes. I was like, that is it. I nailed it.
So you felt like you were back in Singapore again.
I did. So that's the root of the idea of the recipe. Now, we know Henry Jones, who was the first family member that settled here. You know, we are one of Austin's 300 original settlers here at the George Ranch was Henry Jones. Got his land grant over at San Felipe de Austin, just up the road there on I-10. He used to do venison jerky in the smokehouse, like all of the early settlers did. But he was very fond of taking his venison jerky once it had been dried out and dipping it in honey that they had gathered. And, of course, the Greeks discovered by dipping things in honey or preserving them in honey or syrup or sugar, it preserved them, just like salt will.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that Henry Jones used to dip his venison jerky in honey, I said, you know, we could probably take some pork belly, because we love our pork belly here, and put this rub on it and incorporate it into our 1830s Saturday lunch. The first Saturday that we served it, I mean, people were literally crying. I had so many requests for the recipe, and it was a new recipe at the time, and I said, you know, I'm not giving it out. It's taken me 30 years to nail it. So stupidly simple. And a lot of things in life, you know, they are. We try and overthink things. We overcomplicate things. So I just remember that acronym, KISS, and put it together. And now it's one of our most popular dishes, man. It is absolutely spectacular. I encourage everybody to grab the recipe off the website.
Yeah, that's theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Nick, happy 4th of July. We hope we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. It's summer, so Froberg's has vine-ripe tomatoes, huge bell peppers, tender young okra, purple hull peas in and out of the shell, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Randy Hames is my name, but many of you know me better as half of one of Houston's most iconic early morning comedy radio shows, The Hudson and Harrigan Show. Now, I'm no longer Irv Harrigan, but I've written a book about the show that I think you'll love. Fred Olson and I hosted the show for almost 30 years, and we enjoyed unbelievable rating success and won numerous awards. But the best part was, we just had fun. Listeners told us they laughed, too, all the way to work every day, with characters such as Jim Bob Jumpback, The Story Guy, and Tyrone, plus dozens of others. Houston's morning show recreates some of those hilarious on-air moments and gives you a unique behind-the-scenes peek at even funnier off-air events. Plus, I've carefully chronicled an accurate history of the show and how it evolved. Houston's morning show. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or as an audiobook on iTunes. So get your copy of Houston's morning show today and join the fun. If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all that data remotely, so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for the truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NuStar-Inc.com. Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing social media, and my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run. You don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts. Call us today, 832-500-4272, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Hames.
4th of July weekend on the Texas Outdoor Cooking Show, and we are pleased to welcome our very first sponsor, Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike. Here's the owner, Jason Cogburn. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Let me get the address right. Not that there's a whole lot of confusion once you start driving up Dike Road. It's 227 Dike Road, right?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to miss us. We're right there on the right-hand side. It's 227 Dike Road.
Yeah. So now I have visited Boyd's One Stop. You were on vacation when I was there, Jason. So I know a little bit about your business. But for those who don't, give us a little history. How'd you guys get started? How'd you grow into what you are now?
Well, I was fortunate enough to kind of inherit it from another person. Inherited, I mean, from a guy that established it back in the 60s. And I actually never got a chance to work for him. His name was Gene Boyd. He's the one that started it out in the 60s. And he sold it to a gentleman by the name of Steve Reynolds back in the late 80s. And I went to work for Steve Reynolds. And I worked for him for 4 or 5 years. And then I got a job at the light company, and just things happened. And I ended up taking the place back over in 99. And we've been blessed to be there ever since. So we've been there for a little bit over 17 years.
So how did it start out? Was it originally a bait shop, or was it fresh seafood and all of that to begin with?
It was mainly that place has really evolved to so many different things because of just the times have changed. We started off as more of a place that bought a lot of shrimp. It was a bait camp, but they didn't sell live bait until probably around the mid 80s. That's when they are early 80s. They started putting the live bait tanks in there, and it developed into more of a bait shop. Because there was other bait camps on the dike that had bait, and Mr. Boyd thought, well, you know, they got to pass by me before they get to those guys, so I might as well put some tanks in here, and it just kind of blossomed from there. And when I took the place over in 99, they only had three bait tanks, and I think we have about 13 now.
Yeah, so, I've seen that's pretty impressive stuff back there. And you're building a new facility, right, Jason?
We are. We're in the process of getting the plans drawn up now, and hopefully in the next couple of months we're going to break ground. That's the plan.
Well, that's exciting stuff. Your slogan is Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. But that refers to a lot more than just fishing on the Texas City Dike, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. We bait used to be the main thing that we did. But actually, before bait, Gene Boyd was a big shrimp trucker. He trucked a lot of shrimp, and that was the big business back in the late 60s and early 70s, is they trucked a lot of seafood out of there. When it started becoming a bait camp in the mid-80s, the trucking side of it kind of slowed down. And then when I took it over in 99, that's when really they started buying back licenses and stuff. Like, there's not near the shrimpers that there was when I first took over the place. So we've kind of evolved into more of a bait shop. And then around when Ike hit, we kind of lost the dike as an out for a lot of our fishermen. So we put mobile units in different places, but we really started zoning in on the seafood end of it. And we started selling a lot more shrimp. We started getting on the radio and advertising, and shrimp became a huge thing, which kind of led us into the crawfish, which is, you know, we've sold crawfish, you know, the whole time I've been there, but, you know, we sold it a fraction of the amount that we do now. Now it's one of the, that's kind of what we're known for now is a crawfish part of it. So that's a big part of what we do.
This is Jason Cogburn of Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all, but it also includes tackle and lures and lines and hooks and cold drinks and snacks and ice chests. You've got everything they need to go fishing on Texas City Dike, right?
We do, and the only problem that we have is we don't have enough space to put everything. we're going from about a 4,000 square foot building, and it looks like we're going to a 48,000 square foot building.
Wow.
So we're going to have room to do everything in the new building. So we're really looking forward to that, and really being able to accommodate everyone's needs.
So the bait selection is huge, and we could spend probably the entire segment here on talking about that. But I want to talk about your fresh seafood too. Where does that incredible selection of fresh seafood out there in the front come from?
Well, that's probably one of the reasons we pride ourselves so much in what we do, is because we don't sell anything, and as far as our shrimp, everything is locally caught. Everything is usually from Texas. Very seldom do I have to even buy outside of the state of Texas, outside of the Texas Gulf waters, for our shrimp. And everything, most of our shrimp comes from Galveston Bay,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe down in Trinity Bay, or up in Trinity Bay, or even down south towards Corpus. But it's mainly all Texas Gulf shrimp, and you know, and that's what we're known for, because there's such a difference in the flavor of a what we call a God-made shrimp versus a man-made shrimp. And we're just not really big into farm-raised or import shrimp, and we just like to deal with Gulf shrimp. We think it has a much better flavor, and it works out.
So is the shrimp what most people ask for, the crawfish or what?
Well, it's the shrimp, and of course, we don't have any kind of imported crawfish. All of our crawfish comes from Louisiana. There is, every once in a while, we'll buy from Texas farms, but you know what people don't understand about Texas is there's not near the crawfish supply in Texas as there is in Louisiana. There's like an egg-shaped circle in Louisiana that 90% of the country's crawfish come from.
Is that
right? It's like it's the golden egg. That's what they call it.
Wow.
If you take like an egg and put it in the middle of Louisiana in a certain place, and you draw a circle on that egg, that's where about 90% of the country's crawfish come from.
So in other words, when they talk about Louisiana eggs, they ain't talking about chickens.
That's exactly right.
And then, of course, there's Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door. I do want to get to that. How long has that been around?
Well, we started that about 3 years ago. 4th of July, we're celebrating our third anniversary, and it has just really started taking off in the last year, especially this year. We've sold bold crawfish out of it the last 2 years, but this year it's blown up. I mean, I would if you would have told me a few months ago we were going to sell this kind of volume of bold crawfish out of this place, I would have told you that you're crazy. But it has been absolutely phenomenal this year, and customers come from all over. We're known as having the cheapest crawfish, not only in Texas but also in Louisiana. We were selling some weeks at as cheap as $1.65 a pound, and I'm not talking about litty bitty crawfish. I'm talking about really nice sized field run crawfish.
Yeah.
And me and my wife spent years tasting crawfish across Louisiana. Every time everybody had bold crawfish, we had to be in on it because we wanted to see who had the best stuff. And we really feel like we have one of the, I'm not going to say the best, but definitely one of the top crawfish that I've ever eaten. And you know, somebody like me that passes by and has to taste test them every day, I understand. It's addictive. Crawfish are so stinking addictive there. I can't get enough of them. I still get cravings for them, and I've been eating them for over 6 months, and I'm thinking, this is going to stop at some point, but it just doesn't. We just want more and more of them. So,
well, but, my daughter went to LSU. My daughter Skylar is an LSU alum, and she learned to love crawfish over there, and she just can't. She gets the big bucket every time.
Oh, exactly.
And crawfish season is ending soon. Is that not right, Jason?
Oh, you know what? Even though I love crawfish, I'm really happy to see the season ending. It's been a long one for us. Oh, yes. That's the great part about crawfish is it's about 6 or 7 months out of the year, and then you get a break from it for a few months. So you can ask anybody at Boyd's when you say, hey, crawfish season's over, they're all going to get a look on their face like, thank goodness we're ready. So, yeah, it's been a long season, so we're ready for the break for
so
sure.
This is Jason Cogburn with Boyd's One Stop on the Texas City Dyke. Now, Jason, we just got another minute, but so say there's somebody listening right now who wants to boil up a mess of crawfish in the backyard 4th of July. What kind of seasonings do you suggest to them?
Well, you know, it's most people don't do this, but we're so stinking proud of what we got. We do. We have a seasoning that we've been working with the guy on, and he produces it for us. It's called the Rosie Joes, and that's the secret that we use. And I don't mind putting it out there. It's amazing seasoning, and I would suggest that you get it right there, Boyd's. That you just boil some crawfish and use that for your seasoning, because that's where our flavor comes from. And when you get it right, you're gonna just make the whole neighborhood happy. Everybody's gonna want your crawfish, and that's what we've done this year. So we're pretty proud of it.
Straight from the owner's mouth, Jason Cogburn, owner of Boyd's One Stop at 227 Dyke Road. Did I get that right, Jason?
That's correct.
At the base of the Texas City Dyke, you cannot miss them. They are huge. If you're going fishing this 4th of July weekend, Boyd's got everything you need: bait, tackle, ice chest, snacks. If you don't catch your limit, they got lots of fresh seafood you can take home and claim you caught. And if that doesn't even work, you can just go to their Cajun Grill Express and get takeout. And don't you guys have a lot of social media?
We do.
Facebook?
We got a we got a guy by the name of Texas City Dave that just really blows us up on social media, and he does a phenomenal job. And we call him the fireman. You know, he does a great job for us.
Okay.
But yeah, he's always on there. We're always running specials. We have a text group that you can join that where you'll get a text message to your phone about the different specials that we run on crab, shrimp, crawfish, and things like that. It's a really cool thing.
That's great. That's Jason Cogburn of Boyd's One Stop. Thanks. We'll talk to you again soon. Okay, buddy?
All right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
And for all you fishermen and women out there, just keep on chunking and winding.
Chunking and winding.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here. Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you're going to love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas, but they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, and fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, cold drinks, and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door with a wide variety of items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old-country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even pepper stuffed with boudin. And Greek stock seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm, right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it. Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big-box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
This is Gabby Hayes calling. Is this the Olson residence?
You mean Gabby? Error failure.
I was wondering if maybe you'd be interested in a timeshare from the Bernie Madoff Corporation.
Oh, I tell you, every little flare of you're right there.
Oh. You're supporting Geraldine Ferraro for vice president?
Yeah,
right?
Who? I don't drive a Ferraro. I drive a Chevrolet.
Chevrolet. Oh, I see. Yeah. So I'm very proud indeed to wrap up our first show with my old buddy from our Hudson and Harrigan days, Fred Olson. How you doing, pal?
I am doing so fine. It should be against the law.
It probably is, but
yeah,
I'll
tell you what, that I am so, it's amazing what has happened to me. Just this week alone, Donald Trump has called me twice, asking for money, mind you. You know, and I know it's a recording, but, you know, I still feel special. So things are good for me.
Good, good. And Bev, too?
Oh, yeah, she's out in the garden right now trying to kill bugs, and she tries to keep it as organic as possible, so she's using lead. She's shooting them.
One at a time, right?
One at a time, and that way you know for sure. There's no, you know, nobody comes back from that.
So for our old fans, fill us in on what's happened with you and your lovely bride, Bev, since the demise of our radio show.
I like that, the demise. That's the way to put it. Well, you know, we have a little 60-acre place out here, and 6 years ago we moved out full-time. It was Bev and I and a little schnauzer. And now it's Bev and I, a little schnauzer, and a large rescue dog named Boo, who's the second fastest dog in Colorado County. And we have two rescue cats that are little snake killers, and we love them. And then we have seven longhorns now. So,
wow. You know,
we've always called it Rattlesnake Ranch. Maybe I ought to call it Rescue Ranch.
But you still call it Rattlesnake. Didn't you contemplate changing the name at one point?
Yeah, whatever you feel like when you get here, it could be rest and relaxation.
Yeah.
It could be resurrection. Depends on where you are.
But it always begins with an R.
Always. Well, it's on the gate. I can't help it. The R is there forever. It's welded on. So I have to keep that in mind.
So this is Fred Olson, my old buddy on the radio from the Hudson and Harrigan days. Let's emphasize we are not Hudson and Harrigan anymore. So tell your lawyers to calm down.
Yeah, we have to stay legal with this because we did promise that we would not, you know, traffic in that illegal name anymore.
But we were. Took a minute, but it finally kicked in. Sorry. But we were at one time, Hudson and Harrigan. So you live out near Columbus now. Tell me, Fred, how far are you from the nearest restaurant of any quality, you know, other than fast food?
Okay, Columbus has a couple of good restaurants. LaGrange has a couple of good restaurants.
But how far away is that?
Schulenburg. Columbus is about 25 minutes. LaGrange is about 45 minutes. Schulenburg, about a half an hour.
Mm-hmm. So that means you do a lot of cooking at home.
We do, well, we. Bev, Beverly does 99% of the cooking, and she's really become, so, she's always been a great cook, but out here, since she's gardening, and she has her own vegetables and her own spices and things, you know, she raises her own, like rosemary and thyme and basil and all that. She's become really quite the cook because, you know, necessity. And we have a couple of freezers that we keep pretty well stocked with vegetables and meat, you know, when we get it. And she's just really become great. I do the other 1%, and that's when I go outside and I set things on fire.
So you do have a grill out by the deck. I know, but on the deck by the pool, I've seen it. So how often do you go out and cook outside, Fred?
You know, to be honest with you, it's going to pick up more now. I use two different things. I use a gas grill, which I like.
I do too.
And then I also use charcoal. I've got what is called a fajita cooker. It's made in Texas. It was given to me as a gift, and it's on rollers, and I can wheel that thing around and I can offset cook with it with charcoal and really make some great ribs and chicken and things like that. So how often, it's funny you'd mentioned, you called, is it? I'm thinking of pulling out some baby backs or some St. Louis-style ribs and doing them here in the next couple of days.
Okay, well, that's great because this is, of course, the 4th of July weekend, and I want to talk about meals that we prepare for 4th of July traditionally. So in preparation, first, let's just take the ribs as an example.
Sure, sure.
How would you prepare the ribs other than to sit down the pig and say you're going to die?
You're going to die. So what I do is I like St. Louis style a lot. People like baby backs, but St. Louis style, you have a lot more room for error because there's a lot more fat and a little bigger.
I need lots of room for error,
Yeah, well, that's good for me. And what I do is I use a basic rub. I don't buy a lot of spices. I use, you know, salt, pepper, onion powder, garlic powder, cayenne, cumin, and I kind of mix that together in even amounts.
That's a lot of spices for me now because I usually just go with salt and pepper and maybe a little Worcestershire sauce. But go ahead.
Well, what I do is then I cut the membrane under the ribs and I pull that off just because it tastes better that way. There's less to fight later when you're eating them. And I oil them a little bit of olive oil, and then what I do is I pack that seasoning on there pretty good, and I let them sit at least a day in the fridge. I wrap them up good and snug in saran wrap, and I let them sit in there. I pull them out. I let them assume room before I cook them. I do not put them right cold onto the grill.
Now, you mentioned that you boil them. Did you learn that from, what was that rib place that we loved so much?
You know, I don't do that anymore, but for a while, Randy, I did. It was Tony Roma's.
Tony Roma's, yeah.
And I was sitting there one day, I said, dude, how do you do this? He goes, well, we cook them in beer first. And I went, come on. He goes, no, that's what we do. So I tried that, but I found in the long run, I like the low and slow method.
Yeah.
Some of my friends are going to those pellet-driven smokers, and they're great. They're great. But, you know, I still like to, every half hour, go out with a beer in my hand and look at it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a Christmas morning thingy. You know, after a while you go, oh, it's here. You know, it's done. But you know what I do that it's a little different is, and I'm not a big sauce guy, but I've discovered this sauce that even my friends who aren't sauce people, who just love rub, they go, do you have any sauce?
Mm-hmm.
And I started with it's a brand name, but they had a Chipotle type that they had. They had, like, barbecue and all this stuff. Then they had Chipotle, and they quit making it. I can't find it. So I decided to take their basic store-bought, and then I saute some onions and some garlic and olive oil, you know, and then I mix in a couple little bottles of that. Then I put in a little bit of honey and then a little bit of vinegar, white vinegar, to give it a little edge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I start cutting up chipotle peppers.
Wow.
And I start adding them in until my brow starts to sweat. And it gets a sweet tang hot that is so good.
Yeah.
And I probably use that as a little bit. I don't put any on when it's cooking, but afterwards I want to slather some on there.
So
I'm getting hungry talking about
it. Yeah, I was going to ask, when do we eat? So, what about sides? What kind of sides do you do with that, Fred?
Well, so what am I? I just love coleslaw, and I do. I make it.
Ah.
No. a couple of years ago, Bev had these Chinese cabbages that she grew in our raised bed garden that were phenomenal for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you just shred that and a little bit of mayonnaise, and you can add a little vinegar in it, whatever you like to do. Some people like it mushy, like me, and some like it drier with a vinegar base to it. But that beans and home-cooked beans, since we have a steam cooker now, one of those pressure cookers,
right. You
can knock those things out in no time, and they're fabulous.
So there's your 4th of July meal. My old buddy from the radio, Fred Olson, from a galaxy far, far away, but fairly near Columbus, Texas, that is.
That's right.
Hey, would you be willing to come back and visit with us another time?
Partner, I would go anywhere with you, and I've proven that.
Too many times to recall, I'm afraid.
Well, let's not get into that.
Probably not, Dad. But here come the lawyers again.
Hey, that could be a whole other show, but boy, would it be fun.
It would, but this has been fun, too. I really appreciate you taking a few minutes. Love to Bev, pal.
Absolutely. Love to Cindy.
Okay, I will. And that's our debut edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. It went by so fast. So until next week, with apologies to my old friends, Bob and Bob Jr. Stevenson. Grill on, outdoors!
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something?